Judas. What did you mean by that?
Well, we still feel...
Evening News, Monday the 23rd of September, 1928. First day back to the office.
This is my round. This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. And my rounds on Thursday, the 3rd of October, 1968. This is second day in a row, 3 days this week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I played out this morning. I couldn't direct it. And this is first time now I finally got over to Miss Patterson. This first time, way back, not all hardly all summer. And this is Channel 1 over. This is the reel called My Rounds. And this is My Rounds on Thursday morning, the 3rd of October, 1968. And Miss Patterson's. And then at Jim Gilbert's.
Hey, you mean I got here early for coffee?
Well, maybe. You not early. Well, if Cypher's back, there's someone anywhere else.
Well, now, where'd you get that idea, Mabel?
Well, we knew a doctor one time that had one of those things that he would use on you. It's still on. That, anybody's got bad circulation, it helps. And his circulation is bad. And it does help your circulation.
So you just lay back, turn the button?
And turn put your feet out. You see that lever back there? You pull that lever and the thing comes out and takes care of your feet.
Yeah.
And it does help. You know, anybody can't walk no matter if he can or I can.
And it's... That's what it's designed for.
That's what it's designed for circulation.
Well, now, how'd you get onto that?
Well, I don't know. They've been making them a good long time.
Well, where'd you get
them? I read about them and seen them.
Oh, you've seen them?
Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, these motels and things like that, that they've got them on your bed where you can put a quarter in there and it'll run 15 minutes and shut off. And Phil said you're asleep at times.
I'm at you saw him in the motel?
Oh, yeah.
Going out west. He said that yeah.
Why do you know about that?
And it's underneath the chair, you see, and when you prop your feet up, you get a better vibration.
Oh, yes, I see.
And
that.
They say it does help your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, legs, all that circulation and all.
Oh. You know, you drive 600-700 miles in a day. You still driving, you know. You still ride.
Oh, yeah.
When you turn one of them vibrating beds on.
Yeah.
And it vibrates for 15 minutes. Well, when it goes off, you're done riding. You're ready to go to sleep.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It helps all.
Well, now, Mabel, let me tell you.
Hey, for you to get.
Yeah.
Well, it is good for old folks. I've got one of those, you know, with your hand.
Yeah.
And all like that. I've used it for my shoulder, you know, things like
that.
Yeah,
it's good.
And it is good. And you can have the cramp, and that'll knock it out of there right now. Do you ever have the cramp?
In my leg?
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then I got a charley horse.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you call that a cramp?
That'll knock it out of there.
That what you call a cramp?
Yeah. In other words, like those leaders is drawing.
Yes, and it'll knot up on you.
You got to come out of that bed, too.
You
got
to do something.
Yeah, well, you can just grab that and put that on it, and it'll knock it out of there right now.
I never did understand why, when you wasn't doing a thing, you something like that would hit you.
In the bed, I can sometimes, when I got it bad,
oh.
You know, move, see that toe's got it right now. Do your foot like that, and that toe will get it.
Oh, really? It's the way you do it, move
it? Yeah, whenever it's bad on you, any way you move your foot, you'll get it.
Sure. If I eat a lot of sweets, I'll have that cramp.
Vinegar?
Something like that.
Pickles or sweets, anything like that will give it to you.
Well, I never...
get older.
Is that right?
Now, you just notice it, when you have it, think about what you've eaten.
Well, I tell you, I could have it any time if I just shift that leg right. You know?
Well, that's it. Well, just like that toe with me.
May I?
I'm telling you, this should get something to cook. I'm tired of it. You got to go to town today to the doctor. And they got any collard plants and cabbage plants. I'm going to get some. They're going to plant it out there. I'd give her something green to eat.
Oh, yes. Well, I'd like to contribute some, too.
They got those collard plants from Tifton, Georgia. And that's where we've got them on the plant up there. And I declare they're better than any you can get.
Oh, really?
And so they got them in this morning. Said they hadn't got them because I done called this morning. They said they had them.
Oh.
And so they hadn't got them brought in yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, from the bus brought them.
Yeah.
And so they'd have them in about 9:00.
Well, I didn't have any idea where they got the plants.
Well, they got them up. It's, what is it? A knee, Omega?
Omega.
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 That's right out of Tifton. You know, where about 6 miles, where they have that big farm, they raise them at.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really good.
Them people that started to raising them plants up there, they used to live in my mother's house. When my mother married, her daddy gave her 5 acres of land and built a house on it. And I was born there. And I think mother's sister was born there, and next sister. I know three of us was born there, I think. But then they moved away and rented that place to these folks. Welch's was their name. And their first baby was born there. And my aunt was mighty foolish about the baby and all like that. And they nicknamed that baby Hurley. I don't know why they named.
Well, they're the bangest people. Here, folks, not none of them hardly called by the right name. They have one of them fails a nickname.
But they
don't want them to have a nickname for them.
They named that hair girl Hurley, the baby. Well, there was two, three more born there, and their daddy was a painter, painted houses. And he got this lead poisoning or something like that, and got to be an invalid. And he couldn't couldn't work, and they have bought a little old place. They moved down to Sylvester, Georgia, and we were living there when they moved down there. And they bought a place out about a couple of miles from town, and they went raising vegetables, and the old man could sit in a little wagon that he had made and all, and sell those, peddle those vegetables. And he would peddle those vegetables. Well, this here girl got to planting seed beds, just a small patch of seeds, you know, and selling the plants. And she was grown, and she got to where she got a cedar and planted 2-3 acres. Then she got to planting as much as 25-30-40 acres of that thing. And now them there people went to making money. That's all they did then, was just plant. And that old girl, and I ain't lying to you, my mama sent me out there. I was about grown, so I reckon 17-18 years old. Sent me out there for some plants for her garden. And that old girl went down there with me to get them plants, and I'll be darned, if her foot wasn't that long, I never seen such a foot in my life as on that old gal. And that's where that there plant business started from. That old girl just started planting just a small bit of plants and sell them to the neighbors, you know. And next year, they didn't have enough this year, you know. And next year, she'd plant a little bit bigger bed.
Yeah.
And that was her private outfit, you know, when it started that little bed. But when she got up with a tractor and a planter and all like that, and then built a shed and started packing those things, crating them and shipping them all over the country. And I don't guess that I've seen any of those people, but they tell me the same family is running that outfit today.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
started back when I was about 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
And then they even send out collards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have collard bacon cabbage.
Collard? Oh, yes. They have old tomato plants.
But when do you put in cabbage?
Now. We plant them now.
They just
October, and
they
didn't go to cut them the first of the year.
Yeah.
You know, for market.
Yeah. You know,
it's not fair, but I'm gonna tell you, these China stores. It used to be a man. I don't know where you were heard him, but before TVs come in, that he was on the radio once or twice a week, and he told people what was going to happen about these chain of stores.
Oh,
and told them not to.
I expect you know old man Henderson, wasn't it?
No.
He was at in Louisiana.
And everybody said he was a fanatic, and the very thing he said happened.
He run a foundry there.
He said that if they got... that they kept you go to trade with a chain of stores, then you put the little merchants out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Says then when they put them out, so then the chain of stores would have it and the prices would be whatever they wanted.
Yeah, is that right?
And he told them they'd do it. He said that it'll run this country if you do it.
Oh.
And now then if they plant, you know, raise all the share. Frozen food, AMP and all
that
has those places down. I mean, Wendix and all.
Yeah.
And they put up all their frozen stuff. And
20,
people
say,
well, they don't buy the fresh vegetables, they buy the old frozen.
Buy that old frozen stuff.
And this old man Henderson, he buy time on the radio. The thing, they got to where they wouldn't let him have no time. And he
put up his own?
Put one up himself.
Yeah.
But the very thing that he, for several years, that, you know, he'd come on and tell people what was going to happen, and it's just like he said it was going to be.
Well, now, you know, they say, you might say now, all right, why, what difference it makes? You can go in and get your stuff at the chain stores. But, you know, Mabel, it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference.
It just is chain thing. And, you know, it'd just be hard.
Look at Micanopy, by the Carden, cheaper there, 3 or 4 cents cheaper than you can buy it in Gainesville.
Yeah.
Now, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
how many? It's a few cents, but they do sell it cheaper out here than they do in Gainesville.
Yeah.
But now, if you watch those chain of stores, you may think you're getting things cheaper.
Yeah.
It's something.
Yeah.
But just like my sister in Albany. She said that her and her son eats with her, and his wife, both of them work, you know, and Ruby fixes lunch and dinner for them. And her son goes with them, they buy groceries. Well, they don't want nothing but the best, and said that they picked up some meat that they wanted ground to have for hamburgers. And they got them picked out some they wanted for steak and asked them to tube it. And she says when she got home in the middle of that meat that she had told them to grind, now she didn't pick up the old hamburger meat that's already ground. She got the meat and asked them to grind it.
Mm-hmm.
Says when she got home, they had put a little bit of look like brown on the outside, and in the middle said it was just as black as it could be.
Yeah.
that meat was, and mm-hmm. said that that wasn't, it was just gristles that was tubed. And she carried it back down there, and they give her a little static, and she went to the manager about it, and she told him she was going to do something about it. She just wasn't going to put up with them taking her meat like that. She bought choice of meat, and I agree with her that old steel mm-hmm. stuff that they had back there.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought she would never say nothing about it, would never know no damn.
Mm-hmm.
But she
if she did, wouldn't go to trouble of doing
going
anything
back.
About
but she said that wasn't the meat that they had. So they had a nice piece of it's all meat,
yeah.
and they wanted it ground. I had it for the hamburgers, for half for lunch and things that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that right in the middle was just as black as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just old meat. That was it.
Well, you know, one afternoon, they would come by the place, and she asked me, says, have you got any money? I said, I got $2-3. She says,
you want to smoke over?
No,
that? No. Said, that's enough. And she said, I got to go by the
sitting in this chair while I got a chance.
The grocery store. And the grocery store is up
that's
there.
That's his birthday, friend.
University yeah. Bank is now. Went in there, and she picks up some little old something or other, and I was keeping a count of how much she's got. When she got back, the girl there added it up with the machine, said something. I told her, I says, that ain't right. That was one of them days I was kind of mean anyway, you know. And I told her, I says, that's not right. She added it up again. I told her, I says, that still is not right. And she start gapping, and a big old fat woman, she manager there, I reckon, she come on to know what was wrong. I said, it seemed like this girl having some trouble adding up these here few items here. And here she went and she added up. Now, that was three times it was added up, and my God, it still wasn't right. I told her, I said, you had 3 cents of it. I said, I imagine that that's about as close as you'll ever get.
Well, now,
she done got ashamed of me and left. She,
yeah.
I was there by myself.
Well, I tell you what
and
happened.
You know, it was a long time before she let me go back in there with her.
We was in Jacksonville at Daylight Savings Store on Main Street. They had a big supermarket there, and they had one out on Southside. You know, they're wholesale people too, you know. Fred Wood buys from them.
Yeah.
From Daylight. And but they have a retail store there too. And we went in there and we bought a right smart of groceries. Well, everything we bought fell wrote down what it was and what the price of it was. Try
mm-hmm.
it sometime now. It'll,
all right.
It'll work.
All right. I'll do that, Mabel. I'll do it.
And he added it up before we ever went up there.
Yeah.
And when they added it up, it was $2.70 too much. I mean, more than he had added it. He says, that is not right. And so they added it again, and she got just as nervous as she could be. And Phil says, that is still not right. And then the manager of the store, he came up there, and he added it up, and he didn't get it right. Phil says, now here's the figures, and this is what's the price of the stuff. And he said, now you can add it from my figures and you'll get it right. And they kept on until they did get it right, and we went down, went in there one more time, and it was the same thing.
Why, Mabel?
Now that's the truth. And they tell me, God, now whether it's so or not, I don't know. But I have known of people saying that girls would stop working there because if they make them, like they'll have a broom, or they'll have something in that cage up there, you know, and they add that in. In your grocery, like you got a big a grocery, they'll add something in there. And if you happen to catch it, they say, oh, well, I thought this broom was yours.
Oh.
And see, they add, but now you add behind them, and you come up, and you're finding out they're cheating you from $1 to $2.
Yeah.
Out of
well,
a big order. And you know, that mounts up into lots of customers a day, now doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But now, those people that now my nephew, well, Manita, he just liked my nephew. I love him because I do his wife. And O'Kelly, you met Maddie Lee, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And well, her husband, years ago when they was first married, he was a manager of a chain store. And he says, every week you got to take inventory. And he says he checked up short every time. They come around and take inventory. Every time they take inventory, he was short. And they told him, says, you've got to make enough money on your vegetables to pay for the paper and the sacks here if you don't, it's charged to you. And that's the way those managers, they've got to pay for all the paper they use, all the sacks they use, and all right that out of the vegetables they got, and they're going to make it somewhere or another. They're not going to lose it. And he said that, like, back then, you know, it'd be maybe 2 cans of tomatoes for 15 cents. And 7.5 cents a can. Well, whenever they would, you was to ring it up, you have your price one thing, you ring it up at another. And so they told Skeet, says, you never will check out, ahead, unless you do those things. Skeet says, if that can of tomatoes is 7.5, I'm going to put 7.5 on it. Says, if it's 10, says, I'm going to put 10 cents on. Says, everything in this store goes up. And he said he went around and marked everything in that store, what anything he was supposed to check it up at. Hmm. Yeah, he said he knows that was so.
Well,
and he worked for him, I reckon, about 6-8 months, and he quit. He said, that's the biggest racket you ever seen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like Wilson.
How they cheat. But I'll tell you, guy, now about shirts that I found out over a period of years. Now that shirt he's got on there is an Arrow shirt. That shirt cost $7. Well, that shirt will last him now. This is his second year on that shirt.
Yeah.
And you see it looks like it's brand new.
And it's comfortable.
It's comfortable. And he's got shirts in
the... This shirt is 2 years old.
That shirt was going on 2 years old.
I've got some in there that's 5 or 6 years.
He's got some that's older than that that he had when he worked up yon at the university. And they look like brand new shirts right now. That
yeah.
They're at least 8 or 10 years old. And when you wear he's got some in there that he's older than that, 12, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
He had on one of them the other day. They're getting you in the collars is wearing out and all like that now.
From Washington,
but they have never faded one bit, and the color of them is just as pretty as they were the day you bought them, and they wear good.
Do you, you know, it used to be look like people had to boil things
mm-hmm.
and wash them in such hot water, and
mm-hmm.
now a lot of times they even wash them in cool water.
But these cheaper shirts that you get, you wash them a time or two, and they fade,
yeah.
and then they begin to look bad. But now you got a good shirt, and it pays in the long run when you buy a good one.
Well, there's a whole lot of difference in the way a shirt feels.
Yeah, you see, it's plenty of room in that shirt. I don't think they make nothing no better than that Arrow stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He likes the Arrow underwear, too.
Yeah.
And I can buy him a triple pair of that Arrow underwear. And it'll last him 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And you get that cheap stuff and shoot well, 6 months needs more.
Yeah, that's right.
So you haven't saved nothing.
That's fine. That's the little thing that you can have is underwear that don't fit
mm-hmm.
at all. That's about as miserable a thing as you can wear. You don't look too happy over there in that straight chair after sitting over here.
Well, he,
I sit here a whole
lot. He sits there a lot of
times. That thing all the time.
But sometimes I look over and he's laying on his side, ain't it?
Yeah.
Just laying on his side and he sleeps up a breeze about noontime.
Yeah.
But that's a nice chair, though.
Well,
while he was gone, I thought I was going to do a lot to see people I wanted to, you know. But it was so hot, I couldn't stand it. I'd go get the mail and come right back in and sit right in here this afternoon.
You just didn't want to go get away.
I couldn't take it. Couldn't take that.
You know, out in Washington, and you were just as comfortable there. Well, where I stayed, they had this central heat.
Yeah.
And the heat would come on early in the morning.
Yeah.
The heat would come on in August now.
Yeah.
The sun went down about 9:30.
Yeah.
And it was cool. You didn't bother about in there. You didn't need no air conditioning in your car and all that. The climate out there was good, but they told me to the east about a couple hundred miles. Since it got cold there.
Down.
But where we was, right in the northwest corner of the United States, it was very comfortable there. They said they had a little snow there, but not a whole lot.
Well, how did it seem when you got back, Phil?
Boy, it was hot.
Yeah. And but you noticed it more.
We stopped one morning about 10 o'clock at Needles, Arizona.
Yeah.
And for breakfast. And we went in there. When I stepped out of that car, I declare that was the hottest place I'd ever seen. I went on in, and when the waitress come to take our order, I asked her, I said, can you tell me what the temperature is this morning? She says, no, says it was about 105 when I came in a while ago. Fell over to the next table there, he says, when I came in just a minute ago, said it was 112. And boy, it was when the temperature is 112, Judge, it's hot.
Yes, sir.
Hey, boy, they make them any size you want. They come in any size. You can get it that much higher than that one.
Oh.
Up there.
Yeah.
You know, for your head.
Yeah.
That one's high enough, fair, but if it's not high enough for you, you can buy one.
I'd strike off of this one.
And you can buy one that is wider than that one, too. But that, you can take an ice pick and stick it in that one, and the hole just closes right back up.
Well, how in the world they figure that?
They use that now. I used to think it was genuine leather.
Yeah.
I used to think so. When they, upholstery automobiles, a better class automobile.
Yeah.
You know, they upholstery with that, and I thought it was leather. But it is.
Malkahide and something like that, they call it.
Oh.
I forget what they call it.
But it's synthetic.
But in a way, it's made where that it'll close back up the hole where if you're sticking my eye stick in it.
They say it don't be a one.
Jay Herlong's got over yonder and then sitting that one, see the difference. That his is just like, well, it's just a board across here, you know, and you can tell it when you sit down, you know, feels hard.
Mm-hmm.
But that one don't.
You know that daughter-in-law wrote that.
Well, is his like this one?
Huh? Well, it don't have a vibrator on it, and all, it's a heap of difference in his chair than that one, though.
Well, where do you get chairs like this?
That came from Cox Furniture Store.
Uh-huh.
And so they'll order you any kind you want, and they'll order that thing and put on it if you want it.
Uh-huh.
So they'll order you one with it on there.
Uh-huh.
But they are good for people getting his shape.
And what do you call them?
That's a vibrator, and that's the name of that chair is Lazy Boy.
Lazy Boy, yeah.
They all can do it now.
I can still do it. I can sit on a rail fence.
Yeah, Mary's birthday was yesterday, and we went over there and had cake in our screen room. He told the crowd wasn't one in that room that he intended to have a birthday present. His is next Tuesday. Out of it, he said that was Juanita. Juanita could buy him a birthday present. Juanita said, you done got it. That chair. I mean, he done got his birthday present.
Oh, this is nice.
My
God,
she hasn't bought us nothing.
Mm.
We bought her a washing machine and a dryer, right, brand new one, and put it in up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did, because hers tore up.
Well, that's all right, but she ain't supposed to buy me nothing.
And,
Costly.
But anyway, one of the twins called us up and asked us, couldn't we buy them one? They're having such a hard time. So, you know, when they'd done it, we'd do without anything ourselves, you know, if those children.
Oh, Lord.
But I wish, God, you could see the cakes that Mary makes.
Oh, really?
And the birthday cakes. And things that way. Now, Buddy, she's, well, she's good. You can get them in the bakery. I don't believe it's pretty as she makes them.
Is that
because
right?
She puts more on them than they do. And her sister-in-law, her and her sister-in-law have been making them at Mary's. Been a little genius all of her life in that cooking. She loved it, but she don't have to clean up behind herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, her sister-in-law made Mary one last night, and it was about that long. And she had a basket, just like a basket of roses. Had the basket, and then had it full of roses, rose buds up there. And
oh.
It was always pretty a thing as you ever seen.
And she did that?
Mm-hmm. And her sister-in-law did that.
Mm-hmm.
But the boy had about birthday a month or two ago, and I got Mary. That lives up there.
Mm-hmm.
I got Mary to make me a birthday cake for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought it out here, and she made it long, too, you know, where she put for all she wanted on it. And she decorated it like for a boy. And she
mm-hmm.
had written on there, "Happy Birthday to a Little Handyman."
Yeah.
And at the other end, she had her soul made and put on there. I mean, she made it out of ice. And put on there, and it had little teeth and all to the sole, and had a handle to it. She had a pair of pliers made on there.
Wow.
And then she made a hammer. And what she used, she got her a stick like these sticks that comes in this candy, you know, it's on her stick.
Yeah.
She got one of those and put that for the hammer handle.
Yeah.
And then she's taking up some bubble gum and made the hammer part out, and it looked just like a sharp hammer, not a claw hammer, sharp hammer, and had that on. That was as cute a cake as I ever seen. But, you know, she's older, you know, she got a book that's got all that design in it.
Oh.
And her husband had a birthday, and he loves to have a fish. And she made a boat, and I mean that thing was way like that, and made the boat. And then she had it fixed, you know, and decks. And she had the boat a-leaning like a boat was in water, you know, had a lean one side. And had him sitting out there with a fishing pole. Of course, she ordered there. It's candy stuff, you know. But she ordered it, and he was sitting there with a fishing pole, and he had his fish laying down side out. Now, you know, that was pretty, too.
Yeah.
And she had each section a different kind of layer, a different kind of flavor.
Well, I didn't know she did those things.
Now, she's good. Now, I ain't no kidding about it. She's slow, but she can really fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday, little old Janet, her sister, one of the twins,
Janet.
She babysits for a doctor up there, you know, one of those at the medical center. And so it was his wife's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to have her birthday cake. And she called Mary and asked Mary to make her one. And Mary made it, and she had to put it on she got a great big boards like this fixed in them, got them all fixed up where they would hold them. And she fixed a butterfly. And she had the wings, carrying the wings were about like that, you know, on each side. And in the middle, she had that fixed, and she had that yellow, you know, for the body part of the butterfly.
Mm.
And then she had the wings that was in white and green,
mm-hmm.
where it was decorated. And then they had those sticks where, like, butterfly had those things goes up like. Now, that was a pretty cake, too.
Mm-hmm.
Janet said that old lady thought so much of it, she even got out and made a picture of it.
Mm.
But, Mary, it takes studying to do those things, but Mary says she goes up at that baker and watches that lady decorate a cake, and she said that lady just and says she's done made to hers, but Mary says she can't do it that fast. I don't imagine she ever will, because Mary's slow.
Well, she could do it fast, you know, if she wanted to. She don't have to, does she?
No, she don't have to, but she made one for some beauty parlor her dad's mother. It was her birthday. And she just made hers white with pink roses on it with the green leaves around on it. And she had the rosebuds around the edge of the cake, side of the cake, and then on top she had the bigger roses. Then she, in there about that long, she had a worm, looked like a worm, was sitting up on one of them leaves. You know, looked like the worm was crawling. He was crooked. That was cute, but I don't believe I care for no worm in my cake. But it did look cute crawling in those
Yeah.
All rubber bud things there.
Well, I just happened to think about it. We were talking about that down the store yesterday. You know that mule you had that got mean every now and then? And you'd have to get your shotgun after him? How would you catch him when he got in one of them mean spells?
Oh, well, he was out there in that there patch, and I couldn't catch him.
Go from one end to the other.
I got all these folks around here to try to help me. And look like the mole that was out there to try to hem him up to catch him the worse he was.
What, he did run through him?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Kick his head is how I think it kicked.
And he'd let you get near about up to him, you know, and then he'd twirl and kick and you'd go, you know.
Oh, really?
I told him myself.
Well, you never did hit anybody.
No, it wasn't his fault, though.
He didn't kick at the cows. That's kind of one.
But he didn't hit them.
No, he didn't hit them. Cows tried out running. But they hit him a tall timber. That new got
I told him that.
He just. What do you mean? I just.
Playing.
Playing.
He was mean, too. She was mean. She was a mare mule. I told him, folks, I said, well, I appreciate you coming down here. I says, that's all right. I says, I ain't gonna bother with him no more. They left. I went on up to the house and got that 410 shotgun.
Yeah.
And I walked on down there and I got up, I guess, about 60, 75 feet from her. Boy, I shot her right up there, right up the side. I loaded it and I reckon she was probably 100 feet from her when I shot her the other time. I come on back to the house. When I come back to the house, she was in the barn. Anybody could catch her.
That was a friendly eagle.
And, when I, two great big old men here, you know, would wait for Mabel, great big men. And I bought this mule because they didn't have sense enough to know how to use a tractor.
Oh.
And I have Mabel, I told her, I said, if you don't get something to get this crop plowed with, I said, you ain't gonna make none. She said, well, I just got to have a mule. And I went down to sales station, and I seen this mule, a beautiful animal. And I asked her, I says, Mister, I said, what's the matter with this mule?
Why, who's raised that mule?
And,
you know what hurts, I know.
He says, not a thing in the world, says she's sound as a dollar, says, not a thing wrong with her. And I asked him, I said, how much you want for her? He said, $100. I said, mister, there must be something wrong with a mule like that you sell for $100. But I said, if you care out to the house, I says, I'll buy. I said, all right, and he unloaded down there, and I led on up here and put in the stockade and fed him. I got up and went to work next morning. The boys got up and went down there, and she run him out of the barn. She'd get a bag of ears and go at him backwards. I come in that afternoon, and they told me, she said, Mr. Patterson said, we know what's the matter with that mule now. She said, you can't catch her. I said, man, you tell me that a mule in a barn, in a smaller place is that, and you can't catch her. I said, my goodness. I went on down there and picked up a whip.
Are they calling them old black snakes?
Yeah, just a
whip. Yeah.
I picked one up and I walked in the barn and I busted up about twice with it and hollered at her.
He can use a whip too. But now he wasn't no twice. He was putting it on her. She was kicking and he was letting her.
Yeah.
And
it's stinging.
I picked up
he would whip that long whenever he It left those spots about like that on them.
I picked up the bridle and held up, told her to come in, and she come stuck her head in the bridle. I walked on out there and get to him. I said, see? I said, that mule ain't no trouble to catch.
I'm on my way out. Fell. They have to get to the doctor's by 11:30. And I said, did Mushy come down to see him much? And he brought me up to date on Mushy. Then I asked him about the Davidson's hog program. While we were standing out there on the step. And they had got, I looked out there, and all that land next to the highway had been mowed down or harrowed down, and they said they'd got Jack McCrae to do that for them.
He started out up there, Phil. He may feel that that's his headquarters.
Well, I don't know, but that puppy, boy, that hurt his feelings mighty bad.
Yeah.
And he left.
Yeah.
And he got the way he'd go up there and stay all day, you know, and then he would come down here and we'd feed him in the afternoon, then he'd go back.
Yeah.
Then after we got the puppy, got the way he wouldn't come get it, get his dinner at all.
Did you have to take it to him?
Well, I did for a day or two, and I bought some feed and kept up there, and that woman told me not to do that no more. She took the dog, she'd feed him. So they feed him. He comes down once in a while now, and if he's hungry, he'll tell you he's hungry and we feed him.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the smartest dogs I ever saw.
I thought more of him than the dog that I ever had.
He'd mind you? Never give any trouble?
No, not a bit. But he won't pay no attention to me now. He won't mind me. He won't do nothing. He won't even come to me. Down on the other day, they were down there, and he baited a rattlesnake down there. And he'll find them. Now, if there's one around, he'll find them. And I never knowed him of him killing rattlesnakes, but he'll kill any other kind of snake. He's killed them, but that one, he kept barking. Probably he would have tried to have got him, but they went down there and killed him. Here's
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he found a big moccasin down there the other day, they said.
Did he kill him?
Yeah, no, he didn't kill him. But he did find some small moccasins down there and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That old boy lived up there, said he was down there loading some that pup wood, and said he grabbed one of them moccasins and slung the blood all over him, and said he was 10 foot from him. Said he just slung that there snake in two, and said the blood went all over him.
Well, on this enterprise they got over there now, if they buy all their feed, can they make anything?
I don't think so. I don't know. But I just don't believe that people can raise hogs out of brown leaf stove. I certainly don't. I can't see it. Not at the price of hogs now. You know, 18, 19 cents is what they're worth, and my experience is that it takes 3 pounds of feed till a hog gets 150 pounds, and over that it takes 4 pounds of feed to get a pound of hog. I can't see. And after when I come home up there, I had some hogs, and I just experimented, just mess with them. And that was my experience with them, that you if the hog didn't cost you nothing, and your time wasn't worth anything, that the hog possibly would pay the feed bill.
Mm-hmm.
But this boy is making it. I couldn't. Way back several years ago, they had a program that they said that would pay to buy feed from run a feed company and raise hogs that you could make a profit. But it won't do it with the price of hog to spend for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I don't know this where. I would have thought that this year not being able to sell any hogs or market any hogs in the next 3 months, that I'd have thought probably that that would have had some effect on these meat prices. I would have thought it would, but...
Well, that's just Florida.
Yeah. But Mabel bought a case of bacon yesterday, cheaper than it was last month. It was cheaper. She buys bacon from somebody, I don't know, she likes it, and she buys a case at the time, and I think it was about 2-3 cents cheaper this week than it was last month. If you can raise those calves and get them started and keep them from getting that big stomach,
mm-hmm.
I believe you can make money with them.
Something like that.
Well, I was thinking.
You know,
once in a while, so if you smell anything, that's what that is.
Well, how do you do for it?
Well, he's got the green. I mean, it needs cleaning up. Green from that kitchen. And when it rains a lot, you know, the other pipes don't care at all if like it ought to.
Oh, I see.
And you ran full of water.
Yeah.
Probably spin back the track.
Oh, yeah. And they
have... Well, they can't kill him that one. So that was one man, you don't tell nothing.
Oh, really?
But when he was cutting the land, mm-hmm. I found, he ought to start to make a turn here, and then instead of releasing that plow back there, that he'll just push your foot down on the clutch and let it jump. And that thing come off the ground like that, jump, trying to pull it, and then makes it pull around. Don't tell that clutch all the pieces what it's going to do. I'm not going to tell him nothing about it, but that's him, but he's going to catch that. Anybody in the world knows you can't ride a clutch. If you do, you'll eventually burn it up. And he's letting it jump.
Well, I thought...
Push in the clutch and then let it jump. In time to jump out of it. Well, if he would reach back there to turn that corner, either if, in other words, if he want to turn here like that, and that he don't want to release his plow, take it in about that door out yonder and make a circle, and you come back by, you see, and it'll save that. But whenever you break it,
a lot of people. Now he's good at machinery. Because he fixed that well up there when Mr. Fardy, Cecil Fardy, is having trouble with it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some people have an idea, somehow feel, that nobody else has ever had any experience with them.
With them. But now, I tell you, I know by automobiles, I know you can't ride the clutch on a car without tearing it up.
Yeah.
And that tractor, if I had anybody on that tractor that those gears made fuss, I stopped them. I told them that's what the clutch was on that fuss.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the gear and never scraped the gear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can knock off a cog on them, things like that. And but I don't hear him doing that, but I do see him riding that clutch,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to break that land. And if he would go ahead and take him in a big enough land there where he wouldn't have to do that, but leaving that thing a pulling like that and got heavy weights on it too, and then letting that clutch out, you're trying to jump it out of there.
Well,
tears it.
You know,
I got to get him by, and he ought to know enough about machinery to know that.
What do you know about driving that tractor?
Driving that tractor. I know what you can do to a car. And that tractor, it's in good shape. And that thing is 18 years old.
Never had any trouble?
Now, very little trouble we've ever had with it.
When I was out west and I went through a stock shed out there with a county fair, and Irene was with me, and another girl was with me, and we got to with them Irish cows, these, you know, them shaggy cows, hay on them, about that long calves. And it's just like silk. It's just as fine and smooth as silk. They're pretty things. Now, you know, they was crazy about them calves.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the man, and if Irene had had any way in the world to have brought one of them calves back, she'd have brought it. She bought that calf.
Was that Mary or something? That granddaughter of ours, she loved
told her that one of them was $350 and the other one was
$300.
He asked her what the difference was, and all she told him, but I don't know what he said. I didn't pay very much attention to it. But I don't imagine they'd do very good if this summer's down here was hot as last summer. I don't think they'd do very good here. Oh, they're shaggy cows.
Yeah.
They're not big cows.
Well, you know, sheep don't do so good down here.
Wednesday, we bought her a calf. Went out and passed, and the calf had just come, and she wanted that calf. Well, they let her have it at that dairy, and it was a white face. Of course, milk, half of it's milk, you know, was a white face. Came back home, they said they'd save it for us. Came back home, she made Willie, her husband, go with her after. And he told her to get in the truck with him. She said, I'm not going to do it. Something happened to this calf while I'm, if I set up that. She got back in the back end of that calf and rode with that calf from Windsor now over here to Mr. And she put that scatter in the on a cow. And that calf has sucked three cows, and about 3 or 4 months old, and I'm telling you, it's big as a cow.
Oh, well, you know.
It's got the prettiest thing. It's the prettiest thing you've ever seen.
Well, now she's got a cow, hasn't
she? She's got a cow. But now she does love cows.
Has she gotten a place to put them?
She got them over at Mid Downs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can move their cows out. Mary's going to keep hers.
Oh, I see.
She won't. She had the last calf she had over there was a bull calf.
Uh-huh.
And we tell her we're going to eat that calf. She says, well, you're not eating. She says, they'll set it, but they was not going to eat that calf. But she's got those calf heifers we bought them for that he sold on the
gill. On the gill.
I tried to get her to let me have those stirrups, the horns, took off of them. I would hurt them. She didn't care about that.
Sorry, they ought to take them off.
It does bleed when they get as big as they are, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Of course, she couldn't stand that.
How big are they? Big are their horns?
Oh, they're pretty good size.
How long?
Oh, they're curl all up, you know, just a knot-looking thing.
Well, that might get them. Has she got any place to hold the head?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you won't do it.
I got one of those things.
She won't end up do it.
Well, you take it over there and tell her. It'll make a better animal out of it.
Yes.
This is the end of the visit with Phil and Mabel. And now down at Jim Gilbert's. Jim was in watching the television after he heard Governor Wallace announce his running mate, the Air Force General, General LeMay, I think it was. And we sat there and talked a little bit over the television. Ms. Gilbert came in, and she's right fresh from a trip to town with her neighbor there, or to Micanopy. They had been cleaning the Baptist church. But she didn't want to talk about that. And then Jim got off on one of his funny subjects, and that's laughter, that laughter, that laughter.
Well, every Thursday. I just had to go this morning.
I hadn't been over there. I used to go to the Methodist Church right off over there. I haven't been too long. I just lost track how to get along.
All right, I reckon. I haven't been to church really myself. She didn't have any help this morning. There's usually a woman helps her up there, and she brings a colored woman, but they weren't going to be there this week, so I thought I'd get some help around. But there really wasn't anything to do, my goodness. Ricky was with her, her grandson, and he runs the vacuum cleaner, so all I did was dust the pews off.
Well, they've got that.
Really nothing to it.
They've got that new church.
Yes, it's just beautiful in there. I couldn't see where it was even dirty myself. Well, there was one piece of chewing gum where some child had dropped it down on the rug, but thank goodness nobody had stepped on it, so it was just laying there. He picked it up, took it out.
Yeah.
Down the store the other day.
What is that?
You must have told you about.
No.
But you did.
I don't know how it come up. Anyhow, I said, well, I said, your better half was up to the house to see you this morning. Boy, she lit in on me. You didn't think you was the better half.
She said there was it's all down there just visiting, talking around, and these people up here was down there. What's their name?
David. People coming up here looking for the Galversons. Is that who lives over there on your place?
No.
Well, I don't know who them people are.
No.
They come up here and they said they tell you.
Couple inquiries up here sometimes. There's a couple of guys come up here one day, you know, they was looking for a piece of property, and they had a plat, a map drawn out. It's supposed to be right in here somewhere. I said, I never heard of that place. I said, that's a new one on me. I said, I don't know. And finally, we got talking over, and she found out where it was at. It was way over yonder on the Walkahootie Road, the old Gainesville Highway. They just kept saying, and they was way off of the dean down in here.
And I said, well, don't you know the name? Who lives there? Or who owns it? And they said, yes, the Douglases. Well, as soon as they said Douglas, well, then I knew who it was. Well, they wrote their property does run out on one corner there, on 441, in the corner there.
I wouldn't even
have that. I couldn't figure out no property. Well, that dimension run out here anyway.
It's been 20 years so I've been on the Douglases.
How long have you all lived here?
Since 45.
Since 45. Well, the Pattersons got here a little before you did.
Yeah, they was already up here.
And they had built that house.
Yeah, that was already built.
45.
Hadn't been built long, though, a year or two, I think. About 2 years.
They lived down at...
Mr. Birch built it before he died.
They lived down at... Evanston there before.
Down
at the house has been built.
Down at the Hester place.
Yeah,
yeah, and that big old two-story house.
Yeah. And you all got, how'd you happen to get a hold of this property?
Well, I just come up here on a
sightseeing tour.
Looking for a place to come to. I'd sold out my place up in Georgia, and I thought maybe I might want to stay in Florida, so I got some leave and come around up here and looking around and happened to bump into this one.
An old man, Walker,
at
McIntosh, real estate dealer.
So
they went to
Cal and. I bumped into him down then.
So he knew about this place.
He knew about this place, so he brought me up here to look at it. So I bought it.
Right off, you didn't have to look around.
No.
Oh, you've been
well, I looked all around to several places.
We up on the other side of stock.
There's a place up there. This side of Stark there, well, it's
Is it this side or both?
It's this side. It was a pretty nice house there, and it was 80 acres of land with it. Went down to Slipper Lake. Get one $4,500 for it. I come putting here buying it. Then I come on down here and seen this place. I looked at two or three others over around Wordsdale, they were over. And finally seen this, and I decided, well, I guess this was it.
Well, now, how much property went with this, Mr.?
This here?
Yeah, yeah.
It's 16 acres. But deed says 18 acres, but then when he got it, it was 16 acres. I don't know where they lost it. 2 acres out. I think when they put this Evanston Road, hard road through there. They're taking part of it. Then this was the main highway here. And then when they changed the highway down there, they're taking a corner off of it again, see? Mm-hmm. So, and somehow or another, it got down to 16 acres. And then they took another 6/10 of an acre when they four-laned it.
Yeah.
So that left me 15 acres and 4/10, I think, what it calls for now.
Yeah. Well, now, when you come, this field had been cultivated.
No, it was growed up, but it was cleaned off pretty well. The people that bought it, that I bought it off of, they had Jesse Walker's, what is that Walker boy? Jesse's oldest son, he lives up there yet. He was
Frank Walker.
Yeah. I know.
He was working around here with Patterson's, and the people that bought this was friends of Patterson's. And had Frank out here. He cleaned it up. That was all grown up. And he cleaned up a bunch around here, and it got to where you could get in there to cultivate it.
This is the end of this Channel 1 over. This is the end of Channel 1 over, and almost the end of this tape. Just a little bit more of Mr. Gilbert's, and I'll take it over on Channel 2 Right. On Channel 2 Right. Now, this is the end of Channel 1 Over, My Rounds, on Thursday, the 3rd of October, 1968. I've been over with Mr. Patterson and Phil, and now Mr. Gilbert is telling about farming with Mr. Patterson and how he got over.